So at this time, if you're visiting us and you have kids with you that would like to go down for children's worship during this time, my wife, Allison, is getting ready to go down with them. She had 11 kids last week, so we'll see if we can match that again. Getting better, I remembered. So, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. Don't judge me. You can't do that. Nope. Says so right there. Okay. Let's dig into this because that's not the right answer. So when we see that, when we see it say, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. It's not talking about going to somebody and saying, I see a problem in your life. It's not talking about having a heart-to-heart talk and saying, I'm concerned about you. It's me going and saying, hey, Margaret, did you hear what's going on? It's talking about somebody, not talking to somebody. There's always a problem with that. Now, when we're looking at this, why do we do that? Why would I go to Otto this morning as I had finished tweaking the audio to try and get it in sync? Why would I go and say, you know, it's off. It's milliseconds off right now. But, you know, it's better than a lot of other churches that I've watched online. Why'd I have to include that? Might be true, but there's no value in it. Well, makes me feel better about myself. Makes I go, oh, hey, you're right. We are doing better than other churches. Sometimes we might even say things like that intending to hurt the person. Wanting to get even. Wanting to make them feel hurt like we've been hurt by them, maybe. So when we're talking about speaking against someone, we're not talking about bringing something to them in love because we're concerned about their soul. We're talking about going and talking to other people about something that we should have brought to this person because everybody already knows that this is going on. They know that the sin is there. And now we're drawing a sin onto ourselves by doing this. We're, as Patrick said when he set up the schedule, we're breaking the law. Where does that come from? Well, if you think back just a little bit to the beginning of James in chapter 2, verse 8 says, if you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. There's the law that you're breaking. Are you doing this in love? Are you talking about your neighbor and their sin with other people out of love for them? Anybody ever actually gone and talked to other people before talking to the person about a sin in somebody else's life because you love them? It's not easy, but the first step to take, if you know that somebody has sin in their life and you want to talk to them about it, you want them to face it because you love them, the first thing that you have to do is talk to them about it. Well, no, I take that back. The second thing you have to do is talk to them about it, because the first thing that you have to do is pray that you are going to be right in your heart and with your God before you do that. So, when you judge the law, you're not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. So, the people that we're talking with know about the sin, and we're deciding this sin is bad. We really should condemn this sin. And we talk about that. We like to talk about things a lot. I think that's a pastime as much as watching football or anything else. Talking about stuff. It's, you know, sometimes when a news source dries up and you know that that's where good stories came from, things that were interesting, you feel kind of bummed out. But we can't let that happen when we're thinking about other people and their lives and their souls. It's not interesting information. It's somebody's salvation. And depending on how you handle it, it's your own salvation too. So when we talk about others, generally speaking, we're doing it to build ourselves up so we can feel better about ourselves. We're not loving them by doing it. And in doing this, it sets us up as a judge. We're not taking something and saying, God says this isn't good. No, we're changing that and we're saying, this isn't good. This is bad. We start to pick and choose what laws it is that are really bad. What laws are important or unimportant? That's not our job. That's not what we're called to do. In Romans chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, Romans 2, you therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else, for at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself because you who pass judgment do the same things. So, we may not be doing the same sin as the person that we're judging, but we're sinning by calling them out not to their face, but to other people. We are not loving them by doing this. So what do when we do that? We're destroying that person. We're doing it to build ourselves up. We're doing it to make ourselves look better, maybe. But how does that help them? So we have to not do it in that manner and not do it in the way that's talked about, talking to other people. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? I don't want to sit in judgment over someone else. We're not called to do that. But there comes a time when, as a Christian, we have to call a sin a sin. And there are ways to do that. There's a right way and a wrong way. And the right way is to go directly to the person. If you think about this, it doesn't have to just be sin. If you have a problem with someone else, whatever that problem is, the easiest and shortest way to address that problem is to go directly to the person and to talk to them. It's a biblical concept. Yes, in Scripture, it specifically states that sin that you're talking about. But how does it change if it's some kind of other conflict, something that causes you discomfort in your life? It doesn't change anything, because open communication is the best thing that we can have. I talked last week and asked you to hold me accountable on certain things. I didn't ask you to go and stand out in the foyer and talk about the things that you should hold me accountable for. I asked you to come to me. It's the same thing with the sin, and it's the same thing with anything in our lives. If you need to talk to a person, talk to that person. Don't come and tell me, hey, you know, well, maybe with my kids, that's okay. But outside of that, if you want to tell Cliff something, or if you want to take something to Maria, don't come to me. I'm a good middleman. I admit that. I'm a people pleaser. I like to do that kind of thing. But the results are going to be longer in coming. And they may not be what you want because there's that middle person there. So pray about it and go to them, whatever it is. Why? Why do we tear people down? Why do we need to feel better about ourselves? Why do I do that? Fear? Maybe. Not enough prayer, I think, is the biggest reason. Because if we pray enough and we look at what we're called to, and this is what I'm talking about right now, Matthew 18 is what we're called to. Matthew 18, verse beginning in 15. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault, just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. That's the start. That's the start of breaking the talking about others cycle. Because you're taking everyone else out of the equation. And you're going to the person that needs to hear what you have to say. Does that work? Does anybody like to use that? Anybody choose that as their first means of approaching someone? No? We need to. I experienced this summer a very difficult time for the homeschool group that we're a part of. And almost everything that happened could have been avoided had people talked directly to each other instead of sending emails and having meetings and talking with others. If we had had direct communication, it would have turned out differently than it did. So, in any aspect of our life, if we are willing to take this step and talk directly to people, it's going to yield amazing results. I talked about last week also what we see as the vision for ourselves as a congregation, the up, the in, and the out. How do we take this? How do we take not slandering one another, not speaking against brothers and sisters, not sitting in judgment of people? How do we turn that into an up? How does that connect us to God? The first step is what connects us to God, the prayer that needs to go into this. When we reach up to Him, He helps us to set our feet on the right path. He helps us to focus on what is important as we share the information that we want to share. And He helps us also to make sure that it's information that we're sharing and that we're not using it as a weapon, that we're not trying to hurt by doing this. Because even meeting face to face, you can use these things to try and hurt people. And that's not what God wants from us. It's not what we should be doing as Christian brothers and sisters. So the up is the prayer. It's the time that you spend examining yourself and preparing for that conversation. The in is going to that person, having that conversation. That's not going to be easy. But having that talk with them and sharing with them what God has put on your heart and what you see. And then listening. Actively hearing what's going on in their life. What is causing this to happen? What have they experienced in their past? What are they experiencing now? What are their fears? All of those things go into what you may be seeing on the outside. And then pray with them. And talk through it with them. That's the in. That's the connection. That's the building family. Families always work perfectly together. I mean, we never argue. We never fight. I did not go over to an uncle's house yesterday and see a brother and sister throwing each other across the lawn. Didn't happen. If we really want family connections in the church, we have to acknowledge that there are going to be times when we as brothers and sisters are going to irritate each other. We're not going to get along. We may even have fights. But when you think about your own family, that's reality. It's not what we put on Facebook. It's not what we portray to the world around us when we're out in public. But it's reality. And if we want to have that family feeling here, where we know that somebody else, we may pick on each other, but as soon as somebody else starts to pick on us, that's when there's problems. If we want that, if we want to know that I can call someone out or someone can call me out from the body, and that's okay. But if someone else from outside starts saying bad things and things that are untrue about us, that's when we gather together and support someone, then we have to accept that we need to act like a family in every way. The out. If we are truly a family here at Southside, if we have done our time praying, if we have connected with God, and if we have then connected with each other on a deeper level, not just surface level talking about the Packers or how horrible the Chiefs game was on Thursday, but talking about Scripture, talking about things that we need to pray about, and getting to that deeper level, we're going to be able to go out. We're going to be grounded because we know that there is a room filled with people who have our backs, who are praying for us, who are ready to walk and do ministry with us. The out is the easy part once the foundation is laid. I know, I say that and everybody is like, we did a whole semester, we did a whole quarter on how to do ministry and how to evangelize, and I still don't think it's easy. I'm not saying that we just aren't praying enough, but I'm saying that our family needs to grow stronger. We need to be more confident in our knowledge. We need to be more confident in our relationship with God and with Jesus. Are you ready to do that? Are you ready to take and set aside time every day if you're not doing it already? If you're doing it already, if you're needing to set aside more time or change how you're doing it to pray for our growth, to pray for our connectedness with God, and to pray for our connectedness as a family in Christ, that's what we need to do. That's how we combat any chance that we're going to stand out in the foyer and talk about the sins of someone else instead of going to them. That's not love. The more we are connected to each other, the more we are a family, the more we're going to love and be willing to go to the person. So, don't look to hurt people, ever. It's not what Jesus wants for us. It's not what God wants for us. And it's not what is going to heal this family. And we're all hurt. We're all broken. We all need to be healed. So always, always love others as you love yourself. And if we need to work on that, then it's something that we need to work on. I know there's times that I don't feel like I love myself. And if I don't love myself, and I'm treating people like I treat myself, that's not a good thing. So we have to come to a place where we are right with God so that we love ourselves. And then we can love others like we love ourselves. Isn't that what we want? Isn't that what Jesus wants for us? He wants us to realize that, yes, there is sin in your life, but it can be gone. It's already forgiven, but you can get rid of it. Get rid of that sin so that you can love others. And then remember that there are times when love is calling sin out in someone else's life. But it has to be done in the right way. I have to admit, this is probably one of my least favorite lessons that I've ever put together. And there's been no amount of reasons for that. But I think that the message that is in it is one that can help us as a congregation grow. And that message is that we have to consider others above ourselves. We have to seek God and get right in His presence, focus on His strength, allow His Spirit to be what moves us to speak. We have to reach out to each other for support and for building up. And then we need to work together. Now, we don't have a lot of ministries that are running right now, but we've got a lot of hands. And we've got a lot of things that can be done. So as we think about not breaking the law, but upholding the law, upholding the love of God and giving that love to others, let's think about ways that we as a congregation can serve together. Let's think about ways that we as a congregation can grow closer to each other. And let's start doing those things. Don't be afraid to bring an idea to Ken, to Troy, to myself. Tell us what you see. Tell us how we can reach the community. Tell us how we can better serve you as college students. What can we do? We want to be your family, but we also want you to know that we want to serve you. As members of the community, what can we do for the community around us? The Reynosa family, I'm so grateful for you guys. Answer to prayer. Since I started in 2016, I've wanted more families, Sohan and Mariam, I'm not forgetting you, families that are close here, people that live close to this building. Why? Because many of us travel a minimum of 15 minutes to get here. We can't do a lot in the community around the building, but really for a church to survive, to thrive, the community around the building is what we should be influencing as much as the communities where we live. And so having people come in from the community is huge. And so you have ideas of ways that we can... Angelique, walking to worship, listening to Bible class, telling people, oh yeah, it's the church just down the road. That's the church right there at Grange and 20th. That's the kind of thing that draws people in. That's the kind of thing that allows people to know that this church is not dead, it's alive. So don't talk about people. Love them like God loved you. He met you where you were and drew you out of the darkness. Do the same for others. Always be looking for ways that we can grow together as a family. And do everything that you can to build those ties. I love praying for people. I love being able to share. I love that Dean came to me this morning and said, hey, I want you to pray about this. We should be doing that with each other all the time. And it shouldn't just be about illness and things like that. It should be about spiritual growth. It should be about being a better brother or sister. So we're going to stand up and we're going to sing. And I want you to think about if there are things that you need prayers for, whatever it is, bring it to the church. If you are not a part of this body yet and you want to be, seek me out. Seek out Patrick, seek out Ken, seek out Troy. Find somebody in this room right now and they will help you figure out what you need to do. Our desire is for everyone to be as excited as Dean was on Tuesday night to get into this family. We want as many people as we can to go with us, to know God's love, because the more of us there are, the more we share, and the more we shine for Him. Let's stand together and sing.